It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
And it's a great day to be alive wherever you are, even if your team's been eliminated from the NFL playoffs. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today here on You Better You Bet. Of course, you've got us here on Westwood One Sports, inside the Westwood One Sports app. I believe we're still streaming today on YouTube, youtube.com/TheKostos. Even though Nick is off today, we have got you covered. Obviously, we had the final game of Wild Card Weekend last night. The only one that didn't give us a little flutter in our chest and think maybe this thing's going to be tight at the end. I guess Sunday night's Chargers-Patriots game failed to deliver in that regard as well. But certainly, it got sideways and out of control fast in Pittsburgh between the Texans and my Pittsburgh Steelers last night. We will get into what it looks like going forward for those Pittsburgh Steelers in a good bit of detail today. Also, the rest of the playoff field, the divisional round is now set. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports is going to join us exactly 1 hour from now to talk about angles and storylines in each of those four games, Saturday and Sunday. We got to talk college football because there is news on the field and off the field. Obviously, on the field, a national championship game to be played in 6 days in Miami as the Hoosiers will try to win effectively a road game at Hard Rock Stadium against the underdog Miami Hurricanes. Brooks Austin, the film guy and recruiting director at SI, will join us in the third and final hour here. We'll be all over the place making sure you need to know or have everything you should say, I should say, you need to know. I have had 4 hours of sleep, people. I did a Steelers post-game show, got up and now I'm bang, right back in it. Happy to be here, though. Make sure you follow me on social media at the Chris Mack. Filling in for Nick Costos today. Let's get to the biggest five stories of the day. Right off the top, the high five.
Five.
The Mike Tomlins of the world. Matt LaFleur's of the world. Those are just two that kind of I played for. And when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat. You know, but the way that the league is covered now and the way that there's snap decisions and the validity given to the, you know, the Twitter experts and all the, you know, experts on TV now who make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about. To me, that's an absolute joke.
It's an absolute joke to Aaron Rodgers to have Mike Tomlin's job security called into question. But to those of us idiot experts on TV and radio, it makes perfect sense to ask what the future holds in Pittsburgh. And we're going to dive into this in great detail a couple times in today's show, including with Mark Cabali, Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, my good friend, who hosts the Cabali and Mac podcast with me, which, as I mentioned, we were up till 2 a.m. doing last night, talking about this team and where it goes. And the question is, if after 7 consecutive playoff losses and 9 years, 9 times, Mrs. Bueller, 9 years without a postseason victory, can Steelers owner Art Rooney II finally bring himself to have that very difficult but very necessary conversation with Mike Tomlin that he needs to have? And the framework is laid to make this a mutual parting of ways, a conscious uncoupling, if you were Gwyneth Paltrow. The groundwork is laid for that to be the case. Mike Tomlin has 1 year left on his deal. And the Steelers have to make a decision before March on whether they want to add any more years onto the end of that deal based on the way it's structured. It's time for Art Rooney II to talk to Mike Tomlin about not getting that extension. Sorry, Mike, you're going to have to coach for your job in 2026, which makes the decision on Mike Tomlin's part very simple. Do I want to go out in my 20th season as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers and prove that I still got it. I still got answers to the questions. Or if you're Mike Tomlin, do you look Art Rooney II in the eye, shake his hand and say, thank you, Mr. Rooney, for everything, but I can't be a lame duck. I can't play quarterback roulette for one more year. I think I'm going to go hang out on a set in L.A., sit at a desk next to Gronk and Strahan with my buddy Jay Glazer a few feet away and make a boatload of money for spinning some of those fantastic phrases that I turned during my weekly press conferences. Because that's what the option should be for Mike Tomlin after becoming this generation's version of Marvin Lewis. And let's not get it twisted. That's what Mike Tomlin has become. He has become this generation's Marvin Lewis. My wife, who consumes football only via osmosis when I sit there and watch Red Zone for 12 hours every Sunday, every fall, for 18 weeks, even knows that being tied with Marvin Lewis is bad. She sent me a screenshot last night of that leaderboard that was posted on the screen last night. Marvin Lewis, 7 consecutive playoff losses, and then bang, Mike Tomlin right there. Right ahead of Marty Schottenheimer, who, by the way, got fired after 6 consecutive playoff losses after going 12-4. Jim Mora, playoffs, was in there as well after his tenure in Indianapolis. 6 consecutive playoff losses. You can be good. You can be damn good. And you can still not be the guy for the job anymore. Mike Tomlin's going to be a great head coach if he decides to coach somewhere else. But it has run its course in Pittsburgh. And the Rooney family, who dread the idea, it breaks their heart, the idea of firing a head coach. They haven't had to do it in half a century. More than that, my voice cracked. That's how long it's been since the Pittsburgh Steelers have fired a head coach. They can save some face here, not be the team that fired Mike Tomlin, but be the team that made it so distasteful for Mike Tomlin to stick around that he had to move on. And that's the only option in front of the Rooney family and the Pittsburgh Steelers organization right now. As I mentioned, we'll get into it in greater detail in less than 20 minutes with Steelers insider Mark Cabali. Next.
4.
He's shoved across. They'll go ahead and take the touchdown as again Reggie Gilliam rides right behind him. And the Bills are back in front with a minute to go.
Josh Allen's touchdown run that put the Bills ahead and won the game in Jacksonville this weekend. I've come around, though, because that play came immediately after a 9-yard tush push. I've come around. I fought on behalf of it for a long time, but I can't in good conscience do it anymore. It's time to get the tush push out of the game. And ironically enough, it's going to be a team that voted for banning it a year ago, running it to bastardized perfection on Sunday afternoon that led me to finally throw my hands up and say, enough is enough. What are we doing? This ain't football. It's rugby. It's 3 offensive linemen picking up Josh Allen and carrying him 9 yards down the field. Yes, rugby was the game 150 years ago, and football evolved from that. I get it. But the forward pass was legalized 120 years ago. And when it was, dudes were wearing leather helmets and horsehair stuffed shoulder pads. But people are no longer dying from rugby-like scrums at the line of scrimmage as they were in 1905. Teddy Roosevelt's got to be rolling over in his grave. Look it up, kids. He was the president. He said, you got to fix football or else it's going to be made illegal. Not to mention Don Coryell and every coach over the past century who worked on turning the game from 3 yards in a cloud of dust into something resembling what we have now that's actually entertaining. Look, I love a nice duo block or a pulling guard getting outside and squashing little track stars in the opposing secondary. That's football. But that's not what we saw in Jacksonville. Oh, that was an abomination. And when the tush push does get banned this offseason, it has to happen now, doesn't it? You can thank Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills for putting the final nail in the coffin on Sunday afternoon. Next.
3.
I think that the move to 12 was really well timed. There's some clunkiness to it because the model was introduced, remember, in 2021. Mm-hmm. And that was before we expanded with Oklahoma and Texas, before the Big Ten. There's been a domino effect. And we were slow to adapt in real time because we were slow to accept the 12-team idea. And I was part of the group that introduced 12. I think 12 was right. I think it was done at the right time. When we've talked as a league, we think the move to 16 is the next right step.
That's Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner on the Rich Eisen show a few weeks ago. The two most powerful people in college football now have the future of the playoff in the palms of their hands. Sankey and Tony Petitti, Big Ten commissioner, have 10 days to figure out if they want to tear it up and start it all over again. Do they want to expand the CFP to 16 teams, create more games, which means more money, especially for their conferences and their conferences' programs, and figure out just how much of the pie they want to share with everybody else? But do not get it twisted. This is not based on parity at the highest levels of college football because we have Indiana and Miami in the national championship game. No. This is about, hey, how many more games can we add? And how many of those other teams do we have to have in the mix? This is the Big Ten and the SEC fighting over lots and lots of zeros and everybody else just sitting there saying, thank you, sir. May I have another? That wasn't a bad British accent, if I do say so myself. That's what this is about. It's about the power to lining their pockets and stuffing the vaults of their programs and how they can do it while guaranteeing as little inclusion for the other guys as possible. I don't hate the idea of 16, but the idea of 24 that's also being floated out there. When are we going to finish the season? In February? Or are we going to start it in July? How are we going to make that work? The CFP might have a little bit more room for growth, but we're 2 years into the current model. Rather than chasing the dollar signs and the zeros, let's take a step back, let this thing play out for another year or two, and see if maybe more parity actually puts some power back in the hands of people not named Sankey and Petitti. Again, we'll talk to Brooks Austin at 11:20 Eastern, not just about the national championship game, but about the future of the CFP as well. Next.
Two.
You know, I was trying to get him off the field, you know, because we were about to punt, and that was really it. So I love AJ. I think he knows how I feel about him. I have a special relationship with him. We've probably went through every emotion you can possibly have together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've yelled at each other. You know, we're both emotional. I was trying to get him off the field, and you know, you never want. You know, that happens in this game. That happens in this game. But I love him.
I love him. When you say you love somebody that much, Nick, do you really love AJ Brown? We laughed together. We cried together. We watched some Hallmark Christmas movies together over the holidays. We have a great relationship. Really. It's time for change in Philly. I said it over the weekend here on Westwood One Sports, but the Eagles' inability to score even 20 points was going to be their kryptonite this postseason. And it showed up at home, no less, against a 49ers defense that's been bludgeoned and bloodied by injuries all year. Yet there the Eagles were, with the game in their hands multiple times at the link, dropping footballs in crucial situations, especially A.J. Brown. And that's why it's not Nick Sirianni that has to go, just a year removed from a Super Bowl title. It's not Jalen Hurts. And simply moving on from Kevin Petullo, their offensive coordinator, isn't going to be enough. It's time for the Philadelphia Eagles to make some major moves. That starts with detaching themselves from A.J. Brown. This is not a unique take. I heard multiple people say it yesterday. Brown's a fantastic wide receiver when he's engaged. But he's also a massive distraction that created a sense of detachment in the Eagles' locker room all year. And that sense of detachment extended into the offense and onto the field all too often this season. It was bounced around by some people as a rumor before the trade deadline back in November, and now the Eagles actually need to step up and do it. Get what you can for A.J. Brown while he's still an elite wide receiver in the NFL, despite those drops on third down Sunday, and get the toxicity and the appeasement out of the game plan and the locker room before a new OC has to come in and deal with it and learn to placate A.J. Brown. Don't craft an offense to satisfy A.J. Brown when every single thing about your offense should work off of Saquon Barkley. Trade A.J. Brown. That's step one. And as for that new OC, you want change. Real change. Well, get nuts. Let's get nuts. Hire Mike McDaniel as your offensive coordinator. You want some drama in Philly? Mike McDaniel busting it down the school kill? Oh, yes. Let's get nuts in Philly. Next.
One.
But do I think the Packers are making the right call by potentially keeping Matt LaFleur and signing him to an extension? I do. And I didn't think it would happen.
Nick Costos, my good friend, who usually hosts this show, You Better You Bet, right here on Westwood One Sports. Yesterday, I was listening to the show, and I heard Nick talking about Matt LaFleur's future in Green Bay and how the Packers have to just do the smart thing, right? Do the smart thing and give LaFleur his extension. I don't know if it's that cut and dried, Nick. And you can argue in counterpoint based on whatever the Packers do or do not do in the coming days and weeks. But I don't think there's any way the Packers can get away with giving Matt LaFleur exactly what he wants. You can't get away, if you're the Packers, with giving LaFleur more than a one-year Band-Aid extension on his current deal. That's what makes the most sense here. I understand Ed Policy, their new team president, he's just disgusted by the idea of a lame duck coaching staff. Okay, that's fine. Maybe you like some of the stuff Matt LaFleur has done. Maybe, like Aaron Rodgers said up at the top of the show a couple minutes ago, we're all too quick. All of these fake experts on social media and sports talk radio and TV. Maybe we're too quick to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. But are you telling me that what you saw from Matt LaFleur down the stretch this year, especially those two games in 3 weeks at Soldier Field, you're telling me that you're supremely confident in that guy, supremely confident enough to give him multiple years and lots of money? I wouldn't be. No way, no how. When's the last time the Packers won the NFC North? When that Rodgers guy was their quarterback. I could not, in good conscience, give Matt LaFleur more than one additional year on the end of his deal. I'm not telling you to fire the guy. I'm telling you to make it clear that he's on a ticking clock and he better figure this stuff out sooner rather than later. And he better find a way to cure the meltdowns against your biggest rival, the team who you stomped a hole in for the better part of two decades, who all of a sudden has your number at the most consequential moments in games, in the most consequential games. You can't let Matt LaFleur just walk in and sign some multi-year extension based off the way the end of this season went. One more year on the end of this year's deal. That's what you give him. And if he doesn't like that, fine. Go coach the Falcons, Matt. Go ahead. We'll go hire John Harbaugh. Go to Arizona. Go somewhere else. Go melt down in the playoffs with somebody else's organization. But it's not going to happen here year after year after year after year, and there won't be any consequences. We'll talk about where the NFL offseason goes for those teams that are out of it at the top of the hour with Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, and obviously start to dive into the divisional round as well. The four matchups are set. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll get into the Texans specifically, because while the big story of the morning is what happens in Pittsburgh with the Steelers, we'd be losing the forest for the trees if we didn't acknowledge that the Texans defense went absolute bully ball last night in Pittsburgh and dominated the Pittsburgh Steelers, and asked ourselves whether they can do that again in Foxborough this weekend, and maybe even again after and again after that. How far can defense carry the Texans, even with CJ Stroud playing the way he did last night, which for the first two and a half, three quarters of the game was not very good. And without Nico Collins, we would think, going into Foxborough next weekend. But coming up next, back into the Steelers. And we'll ask Mark Cabali, Steelers insider, how much change is actually going to happen in Pittsburgh. That's next here on Westwood One Sports. This is You Better You Bet.